Today's Amud is Chagiga Tazvav Amud Aleph. We're holding on Yud Aleph Amud Beis, three lines from the bottom, by the words Shalu Es Ben Zayma. So we mentioned that there were Arba Nichnesu B'Pardes, there were four that went to the Pardes, Ben Azai, Ben Zayma, Acher, and Rabbi Akiva, and each one had a different fate. Acher, we know, went off the Derech, Ben Azai was Hitzes to Meis, Ben Zayma was Hitzes, and he became a Shaita, and Rabbi Akiva was the only one who was Yatza B'Shalim. So the Gemara is not going to discuss anything really about Ben Azai. We're jumping now to Ben Zayma. That Ben Zayma was Hitzitz V'Nifka, he became a Shaita. So the Gemara says that Shaulu as Ben Zayma, that they asked the Shaila to Ben Zayma, they were testing him out to see where he was holding. So they asked him like this, they said, Ma'u l'saruse kalba, they said, what's the halacha? Is a person allowed to castrate a dog? Is a person allowed to be nisaris a dog? The basis of the Shaila is that the Isser in the Torah that says that a person that is not allowed to be misaris an animal is written in the context of karbanis. So it seems that maybe only an animal that's a roi to be brought as a karbon, so that has an Isser of siris. You're not allowed to be misaris an animal that's roi for a karbon. But a dog, which is not roi la akravo, so perhaps you're allowed to be misaris a dog. So that was the Shaila that they asked Ben Zayma, are you allowed to be misaris a dog? And Amar Lahem, so Ben Zayma responded and he said that the pasuk, we have the drasha, the pasuk that we know that you're not allowed to be misaris an animal, the lashon of the pasuk is uba'artzechem leisasu, that you shouldn't do this in your lands. Now, being misaris is not a mitzvah tuliya ba'aretz, that's nothing to do with Eretz Yisrael. So why does it say in your aretz, seemingly Eretz Yisrael, leisasu? It must be it's coming to tell us a drasha. It's not talking about Eretz Yisrael, this Yisrael has nothing to do with Eretz Yisrael, rather the drasha is kol sheba'artzechem, that you shouldn't do this at all to any animals, even animals that are not roi la'akrava, even to a kelev, there's an iser to be misaris a dog. So all different etzas that people use, it ask a shayla if they're okay to use the different etzas, but la'maisa, the etzam halacha is that a person is not allowed to be misaris a dog. It's an interesting story. I actually just heard this past Shabbos, someone was saying over about Rav Chaim Kanievsky when he was younger. So I mean, even when he was older, he used to go to be a sandik all the time. But when he was younger, he was a little bit less well known. And Lamaisa, there was a certain yid, a Geshmaki yid, that was going with Rav Chaim in the car when he was on the way to be a sandik. And the yid, he asks Rav Chaim, he says, you should know that my family, we have a dog, it's very precious to us. The dog is mamish, like one of our close family members. He's part of the family. He's mamish part of the family. So the shayla we have the shayla every Friday night when we make kiddush. There's a din that the whole family is supposed to be there by kiddush. We want to know, is that should we be makbid that the dog should also have a seat by the table, so that the dog should also be there by the kiddush. So Rav Chaim said, he thought about it, he said, yesh lahakol, that you don't have to be makbid, that the dog should be there by the kiddush. So the man said, okay, I'll ask you another shayla. He said, there's a halacha that you're supposed to feed your pets before you eat yourself. Now the shayla is our dog, he's not a pet, chas v'shalom, he's part of the family. So the shayla is, do we have to feed him before we eat? If he's mamash, he's part of the family. So is there a din that we have to feed him before we eat? So Rav Chaim said on the Shaila, he said, Lamaisa, he thought about it, he said, Lamaisa, yesh lahachmer, that you should be machmer to feed the dog before you start to eat. Lamaisa, Rav Chaim, he saw where this conversation was going, so he said to perhaps one of his sons or his gabbai who was in the car with him, he said, once we're talking about dogs, let's go through all the sugyas in Shas that speak about dogs. So he starts going from brachas to the end of Shas, and they start going through every member of Shas that speaks about a dog. And in the end, Lamaisa, Rav Chaim said that in every single mesachta in Shas, every single Masechta has at least in the Gemara one mentioning of a dog. Every single Masechta, except for one. I'll leave that for you to try to figure out what that missing Masechta is, but it's just an interesting thing that every Masechta has at least one mentioning of a dog. So here's our mentioning of a dog in Maseches Chagiga, is Mahul Saruse Chalbo, Bimakayim, the mentioning of dog in Maseches Chagiga, and this is where it is. Hakavanim says the Gemara Vayter now that Shaulu has Ben Zayma, so they asked Ben Zayma another Shaila. They asked him a Shaila like this. They said, "Mesula sheibra mahu lekayin gadol." Now, halacha is that a kayin gadol is not allowed to marry a beula. Anybody who's had a bia already, anyone who's been with another man, is not allowed to marry a kayin gadol. So now the shaila is here we have a lady, she's clearly expecting, she's having a child, but at the same time she has her basulim. Her basulim are intact, so she's a basula she'evra, is she allowed to marry a kohen gadol? Do we have to assume that she had bia? On the one hand she's expecting, so yeah, we should assume she had bia. On the other hand, she still has her basulim, so maybe she's like a ba'ula. So what's the din? Is she allowed to marry a kohen gadol? And the Gemara really explains that study, ashayla, mi'chashinen l'deshmuel, should we be machmir and b'chayshish for Shmuel, the Amr Shmuel said, that yachol ani livel kama b'ila is b'lay dam. Shmuel said about himself that he had an expertise, that he was able to be ba'il anisha, and do it in such a way, b'hataya, he was able to do it in such a way, that it wouldn't take out her basulim. He was able to have a ma'isa bia without taking out her basulim. So you see, this is possible. So being that it's possible, so maybe we should be chayshish for Shmuel, and assume that this lady was expecting, so she obviously had the ma'isa bia. Ah, she still has her basulim. It's because the man who she was with did it like Shmuel, was like Shmuel, who was ba'il without taking out the basulim. I don't want the Shmuel like shchicha. Or maybe no. Shmuel's expertise is not a very common thing. That's not a very common talent. And therefore, we shouldn't be choishish for that. And rather, we should assume that she didn't have a ma'isa bia. So how is she expecting? We'll get back to that in a moment. But a ma'isa, maybe we shouldn't assume that she had a ma'isa bia, and she should be mutter to a kohen gadol. So that's the shayla. So Amar Luhu, so Ben Zayma said to them that the Shmuel was shchiach, and a ma'isa to be choishish for Shmuel. Shmuel's thing is not very common, and we don't have to be chayshish for Shmuel. Ah, she's expecting. So how is she expecting a child if she didn't have a ma'isa bia? Says the Gemara, it's possible. V'chayshinon, and we're chayshish, meaning l'kula, we're going to assume that shema bambati ivra, that maybe she became pregnant from a bathtub, meaning maybe she went to a bathtub, there was another man, zera, inside the bathtub, she went into the bath, and the zera went into her guf, and went into her guf, and like that, she became expecting, even though she's still a full-fledged basula, she never had a ma'isa bia. And therefore, she's mutter to a kohen gadol, and we'll assume that because Shmuel is loy shchiach, apparently even less shchiach than Ambati, even though this is mamash loy shchiach. But the Gemara says that bichoshesh for Shmuel is not very common, and instead we'll assume that she became pregnant even without a ma'isa bia. There's such a thing as a pregnancy without a ma'isa bia. Chazal's example of that is bambati ibra, that she became pregnant from a bathtub. Now ask the Gemara, and how is that even possible b'mitzias? How is it possible to become pregnant in a bathtub in the way we just explained? Va'amar Shmuel, but Shmuel said kol shechva zera. That any zera that doesn't come out like an arrow, it doesn't get shot out, it doesn't come out with the force, so ena mezras, it's not able to lead to a pregnancy. Such zera is not able to lead to a pregnancy. So how could that be the case? How is it possible in Metzias? And Metzias says the Gemara is possible because me'ikarinami yayra kechetz hava. Shmuel never said that it has to go into the woman's guf, kechetz. It just has to leave the man's guf, kechetz. So this zera also, that was in the ambati, it left the man's guf, kechetz. So it is able to be mezras. And chanami didn't go into the isha, kechetz. It just slipped in. But balamaisa, that's able to be mezras. So says the Gemara, there is a hechatimsa that you could have a lady who's mu'beras without a ma'isa bia, and that's what we'll assume. So the ma'isa with a basula, that's ivra, basula she'ivra, she's muta to a kohen gadol, because we could have this case of a lady who's mu'beras without a ma'isa bia, which obviously is very common nowadays with different fertility treatments, and the Pais can bring a lot of dinim, a lot of things in with regards to fertility treatments are actually learned from this Gemara, ba'amei v'nyavim. Says the Gemara, Vayter Natan Rabbanan, we learned in the Braisa. The Maisa Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya. There was a story with Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya. Shahaya Oymid al Gav Maila Baharabayas. He was standing on one of the steps in Harabayas. It seems it's on one of the steps that are outside the Ezras Nashim. There were 15 steps outside the Ezras Nashim. And he was standing on one of these steps on the Harabayas outside the Ezras Nashim. V'ra'o ben Zayma, V'loy Amma Milfanav. And Ben Zayma passes by, or Ben Zayma was sitting over there, and he sees Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya, who's standing up, and Ben Zayma doesn't stand up for Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya. Even though Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya, it seems like, was much greater, Ben Zayma was supposed to have stood up for Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya. Lamaisa, he didn't, so Amar Lais, Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya says to Ben Zayma, that me'ayin v'la'ayin Ben Zayma, where is Ben Zayma? Where's your head? You must be deep in thought. What are you thinking about? So Amar Loisa Ben Zayim says that yeah, Tzayfa Ha'isi Be'mayim El Yoinim L'mayim Tachtoinim. I was looking, I was trying to measure the difference, the distance between the Mayim El Yoinim, the Mayim that's on top of the Rekia, and the Mayim Tachtoinim that's below the Rekia. The Rekia is Mavdil Be'mayim L'mayim, the Mayim El Yoinim, and the Mayim Tachtoinim. So we have this Rekia that's Mavdil Be'nayim, between the Mayim El Yoinim and the Mayim Tachtoinim. Says Ben Zoyim, I was looking at these two bodies of Mayim, and I was trying to see what distance there is between the two, and I concluded that the Ein Bein Zeh L'Zeh Ela Shalosh Etzva'is Bavah, that the distance between the two is 3 fingers worth. That's the distance between these two bodies of water. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, v'ruach elokim merachefes al pnei hamayim. We had in last week's parasha. It says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the ruach elokim, was hovering over the mayim. Ki yoyna shemarachefes al pnei. So merachefes is mashma like the way a dove, a yoyna, is merachefes al pnei, hovers over its children. Ve'ena naygas, it doesn't actually touch them. It just hovers on top. And we know that that distance is 3 etzba'is. That's how much the yoyna goes over its children. So too says Ben Zayimim that the difference between the Mayim Tachtoinim and the Mayim Elyoinim was three etzba'is, because it says v'ruach elokim merachefes al pnei hamayim. So you see, it's 3 etzba'is away. Amar lehen Rabbi Yeshua l'tamidav. However, Rabbi Yeshua turned to his talmidim and he said that adayin Ben Zayimim mibachutz. That apparently Ben Zayimim, he's still out of his mind. He's still mibachutz. He still doesn't have his das back. Because Mechti, let's think for a moment, this pasuk of V'ruach alekim erachavas apnei amayim emas havi, when did that pasuk take place? It took place b'yoyim harishay. That took place on the first day of creation. It says that the Ruach alekim was merachavas apnei amayim. That was on the first day of creation. Havdala b'yoyim sheni hu dahavai. And that which HaKadosh Baruch was mavdil between the mayim al-yoyinim and the mayim tachtoinim, that was only on the second day. So how could you use a pasuk from the first day to be megala how much of a distance there is between the two mayims, which only became a thing on the second day? It doesn't even make any sense. The chsiv, as the pasuk says, v'yimamdu b'mayim l'mayim, and then it says v'yarvei b'yayim ha'sheni. So that was on yayim sheni, that was on the second day. So now says Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananiah v'kamo, and how much is really the distance between the two mayims? So say the shemli reyav, this won't be learned out from a pasuk, but this is just something that we know. Amar of Achaber Yaakov, Rav Achaber Yaakov said, kemlay nima. It's a hair's breadth. That's the distance between the two. V'rabbanan ami, the rabbanan, they say kiguda degamla. It's like the planks of a bridge, like an old fashioned bridge made out of planks that are strung together. So there's always a little bit of space between one plank and the next. That's the distance between the mayim alyanim and the mayim tachtoinim. V'arzutcha v'item ravasi amar ketrei glime deprisi ahadadi. It's like 2 jackets that are one on top of the other. If a person's wearing one jacket, he puts another jacket on top of that. So the space between the 2 jackets, that's how much space there is between the Mayim Al-Yayinim and the Mayim Tachtoinim. V'amri la ketrei kasei deschifi adadi, a similar thing, that's like 2 cups, one stacked over the other, the distance between the 2 cups, in between the two stacked cups, so that's how much of a distance there is between the Mayim Al-Yayinim and the Mayim Tachtoinim. And again, all this is Divrei Kabbalah. Says the Gemara Vayter now that Acher Kitzeis Benetiyos. So we mentioned, so we said Ben Azai was Hitzitz Umeis, Ben Zayma was Hitzitz Venifka, we spoke about Ben Zayma, we skipped over Ben Azai, we spoke about Ben Zayma, and then the third one to speak about now is Acher. We said that Acher Kitzeis Benetiyos, that Acher, it means he cut the trees, it means he was Pagei Mamala in certain ways, and he went off the Derech, and a love of Kos of Aymer, about him the Pasuk says, Altitan Espicha Lachtes Besarecha, don't let your mouth cause your basar to sin. He used the Shem Hashem and he went places that he wasn't supposed to. He wasn't roy or on whatever level to go there. And the Maisa, he ended up going off the Derech. So Mahi says the Gemara, what exactly happened? What exactly did he see that made him go off the Derech? Says the Gemara, Chaza Metat Disyav Le Reshusa Le Mesav. He saw Metat, is the name of a Malach, the Ben Ishchai, and Shazan Chubas Tayre Lishma, Simon Tav Chaf Vav. He brings from that Rizal not to say the name of the Malach, but we'll call him Metat. So he saw Metat, that the Metat had permission, Le Mesav, to sit, and lemichdav zechvasa de Yisrael, and to write over the zechosim of Klal Yisrael. So Amar, so Acher, whose real name was Elisha ben Avuya at the time, we'll see in this, and soon why he got the name Acher, how he got the name Acher. So Acher, he says, when he sees this, he says that, wait a second, this doesn't make any sense, because Gemira, I know, we learned that the Lamala, v'lehavi la yeshiva, v'letachros, v'ayrev la'ipot, that upstairs, up there, so there's no sitting, there's no arguments, there's no backs, there's no tiredness, and here we have Metan, he's sitting, there's a back, he sees his back, he sees him, he seems like he's tired, he's sitting, it doesn't make any sense. So he says, Shem Echas V'Shalom, Shtei Rashuyei Sei. If this is different than what we have a Messiah for what's up there, so maybe there are two up there's, maybe there are two Rashuyeis. Apku L'Metat U'Machyuhu Shisen Pilsei Denura. So they took out Metat, they got upset at Metat and Shemayim for what he caused Acher to see, and they hit him, they gave him 60 Malkos with Pilsei Denura, with fiery rods, and Amar Lei, or Amru Lei, and they say to Metat, they say to him that the reason why we're giving you Malkus is because my time of Kikazise, like, come to me, come, hey. How come you saw Acher, you saw Elisha ben Avuya, you came up here, and you didn't stand up for him, or the chutzpah? So that's why they gave him the Malkus, because he didn't stand up for Elisha ben Avuya. Says the Gemara, but because Acher, he had thoughts of Kfira, he said that, oh, Shemachas Hashem, there's two Rishuyais, so they gave permission to Metat to erase the Schusim of Acher. And Yatzis Abbasko Vamra, Abbasko came out and said that Shuvu Banim Shevavim, that all of you rebellious children, you're able to do tshuva, come and do tshuvu, and come and do tshuva, Shuvu, do tshuva, Banim Shevavim, you rebellious sons, Chutz Me Acher, except for Acher, Acher, or some of the Gersa, except for Elisha ben Avuya, because as we'll see, he didn't yet get the name Acher, he's only called Acher later on in life, as we're about to see, but the Baskel came out and said that everyone should do tshuva except for Elisha ben Avuya. You are not able to do tshuva, which of course the Mefarshim explained doesn't mean he's mamish not able to do tshuva. There's no such thing as a person who can't do tshuva, but it means it will be very difficult. There won't necessarily be as much siyata d'shmaya, help from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Acher was supposed to respond by saying that, no, give me another chance, and I want to do tshuva. L'maisa, unfortunately, that was not Acher's response. Amar, instead, what he said was, is that Hayo v'itrit, Ahu Gavra, Mehu Alma, once anyways I'm going to lose out on my Olam Haba, once I'm getting lost from that world, so Leipuk Lishani Bahai Alma, let me at least go ahead and enjoy this world. So Nafak Acher Latar Basra. Acher, he went off the Derech. Nafak Ashkach Zaina, he went out and he found a Zaina, Tave, and he made arrangements with her. And Amra Lane, she says to him, as they're making these arrangements, so she says to Acher, V'lav Elisha ben Avuya, wait a second, I recognize you from the Gadol cards. Aren't you Elisha ben Avuya? How could you be here? Aren't you Elisha ben Avuya? So it was Shabbos at the time, and it's Akar Pugla Mimeshra B'Shabbos V'yahavla. So he says to her, so he doesn't even respond. He just picks out a radish, he plucks out a radish from the garden, and it was Shabbos, and he gives it to her, basically symbolizing that I'm not Elisha ben Avuya. Look, I'm being Michal Shabbos. He took out a radish from the garden on Shabbos. So Amra, so the Zayna said, ah, Acherhu, it must be it's someone else who just looks like Elisha ben Avuya. It must be it's someone else. And that's how Acher got the name Acher. Elisha ben Avuya forever then became known Acher because of what the Zayna had said. Now says the Gemara that Shol Acher Esra Meir La Acher Shiyatza L'Tayr B'Sra. Acher asked Rameyer after he went off the derech. After Acher went off the derech. Rameyer was one of Acher's prized talmidim. He was one of Elisha ben Avuya's prized talmidim. In fact, we find in many places in Shas that Rameyer is referred to as Acherim. Acherim Aimrim, and it's really referring to Rameyer. Acherim is another name for Rameyer. And some of the Mefarshim explain that the reason why he's called Acherim is because he learned from Acher. He learned from Elisha ben Avuya. He learned from Acher, so therefore he's called Acherim. Some even explain that, you know, and sometimes in Shas he's called Rameyer, sometimes he's called Acherim. So when is he called Rameyer, when is he called Acherim? When he's quoting Elisha ben Avuya, he doesn't say it lahedi in the Gemara that he's quoting Elisha ben Avuya, but when he's saying over a member that he heard from Elisha ben Avuya, so that's when he's referred to as Acherim, otherwise he's referred to as Rameyer. But again, Rameyer was a Talmud of Elisha ben Avuya, who's now known as Acher. So Shal Acher as Rameyer, la Acher Shiatza l'tar b'sra. After Acher went off the derech, he went ahead and he asked Rameyer a shayla. Amar Lehi said to him, "Ma'ay d'chsev, what's the meaning of the pasuk Then Hashem made this and together with this. Hashem made this things together with each other. He made things in pairs. In pairs. What does that mean? So Amar Lois, so Meir says to Acher, Meir says that Kol Masha Bara Kadosh Baruch Hu Bara Kenegdai, whatever Kadosh Baruch Hu created in this world, so he created something together with it to complement it. Bara Harim, Bara Gavayis, he created mountains, he created something smaller than mountains, but together he created hills. Bara Yamim, Bara Harais, he created big seas, he also created the small rivers, he created things in pairs. However, Amar Lai, Acher said back to Rameir that Rabbi Kiva Rabbecha le'amar kach, because Rameir also learned from Rabbi Akiva. So Acher says to Rameir that your Rabbi Akiva, I heard from him a different shot. He didn't say that it's things in pairs the way you're explaining. Ella, what it means is they're opposites. That Bara Tzadik and Bara Rishayim. And Hashem created Tzadikim, and He also created Rishayim. Bara Gan Eden, Bara Gehenim. He created Gan Eden, and He also created the opposite. He created Gehenim. And Kol Echad VeEchad Yesh Shnei Chalakim. Every single person, by naturally, so he has two Chalakim. Echad BeGan Eden VeEchad BeGehenim. He has a portion in Gan Eden that's designated potentially for him, and he has a portion in Gehenim that's potentially designated for him. Zacha Tzadik, if he's Zaycha and he's a Tzadik, so Nato Chalkai VeChelik Chaveroi Gan Eden. So then he takes his chilek in Gan Eden, and he also takes his friend's chilek, that he is a part in everyone's chosim, so he takes his friend's chilek in Gan Eden as well, who didn't do things correctly. Nischai of Rasha, but if a person is not zaych and he ends up being a Rasha, so then, nato chelkoi v'chelik chaveir b'gehenim, so then it's the opposite, he takes his chilek and his friend's chilek in Gehenim. And Amr of Misharshim, I krah, what's the makar for this? Where do we see this in the Pasuk? Gabet tzidikim ksev l'chein ba'artza mishne yirashu, that they're going to get a double portion, Mishnah Yirashu. And Gabe Rishon Ksiv, Umishnah Shibarin Shivarim, that they're going to have a double disaster, because they're going to have their chelik and also someone else's chelik in Gehenna. Says the Gemara again, that Shol Acher Esra Meir, Acher Esra Meir, La Acher Shiyatzel Tar Bisra, again, after Acher went off the Derech, so he asked Rameir Rishaylo, he said, Ma'idich Siv, what's the meaning of the Pasuk? Lo Yarchen Azav Uzuchuches Utmarasa Klepaz, that you can't properly value gold and glass, and it talks about Klepaz, also golden Kalim. So Amar Loi, Sir Meir explains to Acher, he says that Elu Divrei Taira, the Pasuk's a remez, it's referring to Divrei Taira, Shekashen Leknoisen Klezav Uklepaz, that's compared to Zav and Klepaz, that are very difficult to acquire them. It's expensive, it's very difficult to acquire them, but it's also like glass in the sense that v'noichin la'abdan k'klei zuchuches. It's very easy to lose it, like glass kalim. A glass kli falls on the ground, it shatters. So it's very difficult to acquire like gold, and it's very easy to lose like glass. Amar Loi, Acher says to Rameir, he says that no, Rabbi Kiva Rabbecha lo yamar kach. That's not how your Rabbi Rabbi Akiva explained it. Elama klei zav uklei zchuches. Afa pisha nishbru yesh lem takana. What he said was that it's like gold and it's like glass in the sense that even after they break, so they could be fixed, they could be glued, melted back together. Af tamid chachamim. So too when it comes to tamid chachamim, afa pisha sarach yesh lei takana. That even a tamid chacham, even if he goes off the derech, he still has hope. He could still do tshuva. So Amar Loi, so when Rameir heard Acher, it's like so ironical that Acher is the one saying this. So Amar Loi, Rameir says to his Rabbi, he says to Acher, so wait a second, you just said it yourself that the Talmud Chacham was able to do tshuva. So af atu chazur b'cha, why don't you do tshuva? So Amar Loi, Acher explains to Rameir, I wish, but kvar shemati me'achari apargud shuvu banim shayvavim chutz me'acher. I was already told I have no hope. Again, that's not really the way Acher was supposed to have taken it. He was supposed to take that and say that, no, I want another chance anyways. Lamaisa, he didn't, and that's what he tells Rameir, that it's too late for me to do tshuva.